Currently, it's 69.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly appreciate y'all out there being here. We got fun stuff lined up for you this hour, everybody. We're going to get into a couple of fun topics for you a little bit later. We're kicking things off with some entertainment news, though.
All right.
And I understand that a lot of people out there right now are using their headlines and their entertainments to talk about Matthew Perry and what happened with him. If you are curious, I encourage you to look into it. I don't call that... I think that that is low-hanging fruit,
okay.
Seth.
All right.
And if the audience wanted us to talk about it, they can reach out to us right now, 715-424, and talk about it.
Sure.
I would much rather talk about Matthew Perry's life and his career.
His legacy and how he helped people with addictions throughout most after he had sobered up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ain't going to talk about that.
No.
I'll tell you right now. But if you want to, there are a million resources out there for you to find out the information about that. But I would encourage you even more to watch like the whole 9 yards or something like that.
Watch all of the Friends episodes for the 10th time, whatever.
Something like that or anything. Seriously, the whole 9 yards, him and Bruce Willis, so good together in that movie. So good. Instead, we're going to start off here. There is a lot of punk Green Day memorabilia on the internet. You can find guitar picks, drumsticks, patches, Funko doll pops and everything. Rarely listened to, you know, B-side tracks and everything. But this is really punk. On Tuesday, a limited edition Green Day Krug machine will be available.
Krug. I believe that's pronounced, yeah.
It's a normal Krug machine, which is custom designed for the 20th anniversary of their album, American Idiot.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I'm going to show Seth a picture of it right now.
That's pretty styling.
I like the colors.
I like it, yeah. I feel so old now.
I really feel old.
20 years? Oh, I remember when that came out. Oh, my gosh.
Man, there is no way I would have guessed that album's 25 years old. No way. They could have told me the day it came out, and I still wouldn't have guessed. Mm-hmm. But that's because I'm bad at math. That is actually kind of cool looking. I mean, if you're a Green Day fan.
Yeah, right.
I don't mind Green Day, but I'm not a big enough fan.
You're not like a super fan, right?
No. Billy Joe Armstrong says, our buses and backstages have been stocked with our coffee company's first ever signature brewer. Hope you guys love it as much as we do. If you didn't know, Green Day launched a coffee brand back in 2015 called Oakland Coffee, but it's now known as Punk Bunny Coffee, and some of it is included with the Keurig brewing kit.
Okay. All right.
You can purchase one of their brew kits for $159.
Whoa.
That's all.
Is that how much? I don't even know how much a regular Keurig costs, so I don't know if that's similar. I don't know.
Yeah, I am not sure, but I am not paying that. I'll tell you that right now.
Isn't it funny how these things work out? Remember when Green Day first hit, you know, they were punks, man. Yeah. No selling out. Yeah, okay.
it's really it's one of the weird things about punk music to me. And I like some punk music, but I in no way pretend to be a diehard fan or what some are and everything, certainly.
Right.
But when it comes to like the idea of okay, you could be a punk star until you get a record deal. Then you're a sellout, man. Like, that doesn't make any darn sense to me, man. Like that's the whole point of this is for people to hear your music.
Well, and let's be honest here, the first punk band, the Sex Pistols, were completely fabricated. They weren't like actual punk. They were just like Malcolm McLaren was like, hey, let's get a group together that can be outrageous and, you know, get lots of press, which is exactly what happened.
Let's see here. Let's look at what's new on the small screen, big screen, and all of that. Looking at your small screen this weekend, today on Adult Swim, Rick and Morty the anime is on. Also tonight on NBC, CBS at 7 o'clock, Let's Make a Deal primetime. On HBO Max, the streaming premiere of Mad Max prequel Furiosa is on.
Okay.
Not bad. I didn't think it was bad. Okay. I think Chris Hemsworth makes a good villain. He makes a darn good, as great as he is as Thor in that movie, the Extraction movies and everything, he makes a darn good villain.
Good.
Netflix has The Union, a spy thriller starring Mark Wahlberg and Halle Berry. That is actually getting some nice reviews right
now. Okay, very cool.
And it's cool to see Halle Berry in work.
Wow, that's an interesting pairing, I got to say.
And on Sunday, 7 o'clock, Fox, NFL preseason football.
Oh, jeez.
San Francisco versus New Orleans Saints.
Dude, it's preseason.
You can see Spencer Rattler out there for the Saints. And, you know, Sunday on Bravo, watch what happens live. They got some good guests on that one. So that, and most of your TV is repeated, or a lot of it is repeated right now, of course, during summer.
It's August.
Jimmy Kimmel's got guest hosts and stuff.
Yeah, vacation time. Yeah.
Does anybody care about late night TV anymore?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that, James. I just this week caught at least the beginning of the episode of Stephen Colbert, the late night show, and
It
wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, woohoo, wow, this is great commentary. Yeah, not really, no.
Like, I've been very clear about how I feel about Jimmy Fallon. Like, that man, if it wasn't hurting already, he destroyed The Tonight Show. I have not watched one second of him on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And what I have seen in clips or whatever, just loosely, not even really paying attention, no, I don't need somebody who laughs at his own jokes. They don't even need a laugh track for Jimmy Fallon. He covers that himself.
Sad. Very sad.
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel, I don't hate or dislike, but I don't see Jimmy Kimmel's never really done anything that really makes, like, I don't even know what's noteworthy, like, with Jimmy Kimmel. Like, there's no moment or joke that he did that I'm like, oh, that was hilarious, I remember that,
right?
You know, or something. I can remember old Carson jokes more than I can remember something that Kimmel did.
Exactly. You know, and the most interesting thing, and I didn't stay up because it was getting late, but about the Colbert show, was that Nick Cave, of all people, was going to be a guest on that show.
Wow.
Nick Cave,
wow,
the Australian musician.
Yeah, the
speaking of punks having a weird career trajectory.
Goodness, that is interesting. and I don't mind Seth Meyers. I really liked his work on SNL, but I don't, what I have seen of his show, I think he's a good interviewer. If he's interviewing somebody, I like to catch those a lot of the time. But Stephen Colbert is one of the my guys. I like Stephen Colbert a lot. Since his first season doing that show, I really haven't watched much of it, unless he's had a guest on that I really like or something.
Right. And you can always go back and watch those later, too. So it's not like watching a late night show is like it was. You know, just real quick, I think the problem is the shows were tailored to certain people. David Letterman's show was tailored to David Letterman because of his quirky sense of humor and all this kinds of stuff. The Tonight Show was Johnny Carson, basically. And when you bring in, nothing against Jay Leno as a comedian or anything like that, but he basically just took what Johnny, and it didn't really fit. I mean, he kind of, you know, through the years, he kind of molded it more to himself. But it just, for whatever reason, it just didn't work as well.
They didn't help themselves when they had this great thing, and then I think Johnny Carson is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever do that job better than Carson. I am a false, you know, a poor man's version of him in many ways, and growing up watching a lot of Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson was kind of a jerk off stage.
He really was.
And what he did to Joan Rivers should not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
He not only, like, blackballed her, but if you were, like, so when Joan Rivers starts her show, he's all hurt and everything. Well, if you were hurt, why didn't you give her opportunities, more opportunities, or have her be the person that's going to take over when you're done? But he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, Joan Rivers tries to go off and do her own thing.
Yep.
The first person she tells is Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
The first call she makes and almost begs him, hey, Johnny, is this okay? She was not even going to sign the contract unless he was okay. He ignored her, and then, hey, you want to be a guest on my show? You can't do Joan's show. So then nobody goes on Joan Rivers' show, and her show bombs horribly. Of course, then Arsenio Hall gets his opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And Arsenio Hall, Johnny does the same thing to every other night show. And unlike with Joan, Arsenio's like, well, okay, then I'll just ask the people that wouldn't be on Johnny's show.
Exactly. And it worked for a while.
That's what helped him
For
a good 2 years or so, it really worked for
him. It did.
Some of that stuff that Carson did off the stage really hurt things.
Yeah.
And then with the whole Tonight Show thing of, okay, it should be David Letterman's job. That makes nobody that was paying attention, I don't think, could argue that.
Yep.
Then you look at what happens. Leno takes over. Ratings go down. Letterman goes over to
CBS. Yep.
Boom. Blows up like crazy.
Yep.
And for years is the number one late night show.
Mm-hmm.
With all of that chaos, and then what happened with The Tonight Show with Leno and Conan. It's a lot of bad blood. It leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. And then you have the fact of what you just said right there, which is probably the biggest key of all of this. What brought people to late night? whoa, Hugh Grant messed up bad. He's going to be on The Tonight Show. We got to see that.
Yeah.
Now, Hugh Grant messed up bad. I'll watch it in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll catch it this weekend in a clip or something.
It's not relevant anymore. No, it really isn't. And they only, and to me, I don't know, I have the numbers, you know, people watching it as it's going on. I mean, to what people watch later, like on clips on YouTube. You know, that would be like the only reason to keep doing it. So, in my opinion,
I was just growing up such a big fan of late night TV and the work that they did there
in college, man, with Conan, mm-hmm. when he did his show,
yeah,
the late night show or whatever. I keep forgetting what it was, but that was something, man.
Yeah,
that was like it's like what they let this on TV. Wow, this is amazing.
I'm a little biased, but that's my guy.
Yeah, I know.
That was the show for me too, yep. man. Yeah. What's new in theaters this weekend? You've got a fun one in limited release, and it's called My Penguin Friend. It's rated PG. Gene Reno, one of the better action actors I've ever seen in my life, plays a Brazilian fisherman who rescues an injured penguin that was nearly killed by an oil spill, nurses it back to health, and surprises everyone with the strength of their bond. It's based on the true story of Dimdin the penguin, who traveled 5,000 miles every year to come back and visit the man who saved him.
Oh my gosh.
If you ever want to see, to me, almost a perfect movie, the movie The Professional. Gary Oldman is at his villainous best, his greatest villain performance, mm-hmm. even better than Dracula. Gene Reno is just heartwarming as a hitman and beautifully charismatic with saying very little to nothing. I think he has mm-hmm. like four or five lines in that movie. And it's actually the breakout for Natalie Portman.
Yes, when she was young, when she was a child actor. Yep.
To think of him from that to doing this now, where his co-star is a penguin. That's beautiful, man. That's awesome.
Man, what an underappreciated actor Absolutely. Jean Reno was. And I know he was French and didn't appear in a lot of English language movies. But man, when he was out there, he was good.
Yeah.
He was real good stuff.
Really big fan mm-hmm. of his.
Me too.
Skincare, rated R. Elizabeth Banks plays a celebrity skincare expert who becomes increasingly unhinged after becoming unconvinced that a rival has better work or whatever. Lewis Pullman and Nathan Fillion in that one.
Oh.
I'd like to see Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. With more of a dramatic role.
Yeah.
Don't see that very often.
No. And I bet he could do it.
Oh, I'm sure he can.
And the big one right now, although in limited release for some reason, Alien Romulus, rated
really?
R. Well, I think part of it is they're afraid. Theaters are getting afraid right now. Because you have this movie. I'm going to put Alien in there. This is the reason. I'm going to put Horizon, the new Costner movie, in our main theater and everything. And we have four people all weekend that came to see it.
Yeah.
So that I could have put a different movie in there, or even a movie that was already released 2 or 3 weeks ago, but now I can't, and that took up money and inventory and all that I could have had. So it's not just these studios that are afraid to release movies now. Movie theaters, especially because of that movie, are incredibly afraid. You're booking your especially a movie like that, 3 hours, you're not even more than 3 hours, because you got to clean up and everything.
You're using it's like a 4 hour block or whatever
at 1, at 6, at 9,
and you're using a whole theater that you can't put something else in. Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, totally. The thing that surprises me about this is a tentpole series. These are supposed to be movies that have a culture surrounding them, people who, you know, fan people, you know, a fan mm-hmm. community, and they're nervous about, wow, that's really remarkable. I think we're seeing a transition right now in the movie industry of what, where are they? They're kind of in a sifting period, I guess you could say, about what do people want to see? What are they going to go see? Kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to find out where it goes.
Another trend you're going to see a lot of is a lot of new faces. You're going to see a lot of new faces, and not all of it is good news. Mm-hmm. Is good right. Because it's a lot of pettiness that is going on with mm-hmm. a lot of the producers and producers and casting people out there because of the writers and yep. actor strikes.
Last weekend, my family and I went to see Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Oh, good.
And I'm watching. It's not a great movie, but it's fun, you know. And it's a kids' movie. It's aimed at kids, of course. And there's some fun, a little bit. More mature, not super mm-hmm. mature, but you know, things that you can, you know, that adults can catch that kids won't, kind of thing. Fun movie, 90 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and that's all. And I'm thinking, man, why don't they do more movies like this?
Yes.
You know, I'm sure it didn't cost a lot to make. I mean, there's some CGI in there, of course, because, you know, magic with the purple crayon kind of thing. Yeah. But it's silly. You know, it's got the, some slapstick in there. It's got a very, you know, charismatic leading Levi. Exactly. I forget his first. Zachary Levi. I'm sorry.
And Zachary Levi found his wheel.
He is a very charming actor. You know, he's fun. He acts like a big kid. And, man, is he good at that.
If you have a movie like that, he's the guy. It's the role, like every time. You don't even bother auditioning if he is, because he's going to get it.
Yeah, Zoe Deschanel is kind of nice. She's the romantic. Oh, well, it's not even romantic because it's a kids' movie, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, she has the son who is the one who believes. Anyway, you know, standard movie, nothing special, but it was fun going with my family. And I'm thinking, this is what we need more of right here. Not so long movies, you know, simple. Just entertaining movies.
Less, if you don't have a 2.5-3 hour blockbuster movie or whatever in there, you're freeing up the theater that quicker.
Exactly.
And people are in and out of the theater that much faster too. Yep. I don't think it's far fetched to say that is where we're going to be this time next year.
I kind of hope that is where we are, actually.
For a lot of different reasons, but hopefully a lot of them good.
Yep.
Of course, we want to put a spotlight on the coming up tonight. Or actually,
they started last night.
Opening night last night. I heard good things.
Yep.
Our good friends at over at CWAC set.
That's right. The Schmeichel Shakes. I love that name, by the way.
Schmeichel Shakes. So good.
They're performing at the Pankowski Friends Amphitheater. That is at 2419 North Point Drive in Stevens Point. That is where they are doing the Merry Wives of Windsor, everybody. Very cool. I love that we do this every year. Shakespeare is great outside, I think. That's a great way to do it. Although, in Director's Cut, we talked to Susan about the lighting, sometimes lighting issues and things like that. That's why you have to do it at a certain time because they don't have any lights. But, man, anytime you can see live Shakespeare, do it.
Yeah.
Go and see it. So tonight at 6 o'clock, there's going to be... 6 o'clock is when the dinner starts. But you can go see the movie. You can still have the movie. They go see the show still without going to the dinner. And then at 6 tomorrow on Saturday. And then at Sunday, they got a 2 o'clock matinee for your viewing enjoyment. So if you get a chance, go out there. You can get their tickets at CWACT.org. That you can buy your tickets online.
Limited walk-up tickets available. Ooh, cash in check only. And as we heard from our own Melissa Kay this morning, luau dinner tickets are available at the door.
Oh, they do have them. Excellent.
Get that and have some fun, everybody, and support local theater.
Yes, please.
We will find out more at CWAC.org, CWAC.org. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, and get you ready for our news and sports break with some fun stuff. We're going to talk about how to tell a joke when we come back on the morning show at WFHR. So, Seth, knock, knock, who's... Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Jumps in so quick on me there.
He does. Brandon Flowers, what are you doing there?
I got to say, heck of a performer.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Killers guy or anything like that, but that man can sing.
Yes.
He is a heck of a performer. Really good MC. Want to get into National Tell-A-Joke Day. National Tell-A-Joke Day. Let's talk about jokes.
Okay.
And the telling of a joke. We're going to focus on that part right now. Now, this is interesting. I came across this article, and I was just telling Seth. It's from mentalfloss.com. You can check it out yourselves. And at first, I was a little dismissive, I'll be honest. I was like, I don't know about this and everything. I feel like joke telling can be a... Don't think. Like, it's the same thing they tell us as actors all the time. When do you get in trouble as an actor? When you start thinking.
I'm thinking too much. Yeah,
thinking
overthinking.
Too much, overthinking on stage. Yep. Acting is reacting.
Yep.
It's the greatest lesson I've learned in acting still. Acting is reacting. Mm-hmm. Acting is about being the most uncool person in the room. It's just being human. It's being real. Acting is not, oh my God, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, right.
It's, oh my God. It's real. And joke telling is the very same thing. Most jokes are done best when they're just kind of done like this.
Yeah.
Not, hey, everybody, punchline coming.
Yeah, right. Then you just totally ruined it.
Mm-hmm. So here are five elements of telling a great joke. And keep in mind, the phone lines are open. If you've got some good PG humor, we'd love to have it with you. Seth and I need these jobs, man.
Yes,
don't,
yes. No, there once was a man from Nantucket here. We're not doing that, all right?
Relax. Just relax.
Yep.
If you feel awkward, so will the other people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And not for nothing, if you feel awkward or anything, maybe lean into that. Because it's worked for a million comedians mm-hmm. that you've seen over the years, going back to Ooh. Buddy Hackett to Mitch Hedberg.
Yep, yep. The one of the greatest at following up a joke that bombed was Bob Hope. Oh, yeah. Bob Hope he was one of those guys. Oh, he told jokes so fast that you know, he would have to go, and every now and then be clunker in there and people wouldn't laugh. It was his response to the fact that it wasn't funny that made it funny. He was really good at that.
Oh, you didn't like that one? Let's see if you like this one.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It was so good at transition. Yes. And you're so right. I forget about that about Bob Hope. I focus so much as an adult on his MC work.
Right. When he got older, he didn't do it as much. But if you go listen to his radio show from like the 30s and the 40s, yes, it was boom, joke, boom, joke, boom, joke. Yeah.
Every time he comes up, I want to watch the Lemon Drop Kid. Every time. Set up the premise. That's what the joke is about. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the audience might not get it, and your joke will fall flat. Now, we focus on the punchline, and I think the issue a lot of people get into in comedy is punchline, 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 punchline. It's about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the journey. Most of the greatest jokes you've heard are a story,
yep,
and they lead you into it.
Right.
So I think that you the less, again, the less you think it, the mm-hmm. less you're overthinking it, the funnier the punchline tends to be.
One of my favorite examples of that is Who's on First?
Oh, good.
Because it has a punchline, and it's, that's our shortstop. That's the punchline of the joke. But getting there is where all the fun is, mm-hmm. doing the whole back and forth of who's on first, what's on second, all that stuff. So, which is why, still, that is one of the greatest routines, if not the greatest comedy routine of all time.
we had the last class that I taught at Second City, the semester before, we have the students give a final. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just to show everything they learned in that semester and everything. We had two female students, do who's on first, and did it perfectly, yeah. wonderfully.
I cannot tell you how good that holds up, man. Mm-hmm. When Beth and I were living in North Dakota, they had a talent show for the community in one of the communities close to where we were. And we Beth and I went and did Who's On First. Mm. And I cannot tell. It killed, man.
Yeah.
People, even though they've heard it before, it is still one of the funniest things ever.
Something about it. With all this, all we are talking about with comedy not aging that well,
mm-hmm.
there are a handful of bits that just hold the test of time.
Hold the test of time.
And and part of that bit, I'm so glad you brought that one up, because I think that that's one of the better examples of the next one on here.
Ah.
Timing is crucial.
Oh my gosh, yes it is.
A great comedian knows when people are going to react to a bit, what to play up, and when to pause. Timing is also important for setting up punchlines and making a joke come off as natural rather than rehearsed.
Aha.
Now, this is something that you know, whether you know it or not. You've seen it, mm-hmm. whether you realize it or not. You mentioned a couple of greats. I will throw in there Bob Newhart. With sneaky good timing. Like I think there's plenty of examples of the some of the best timing you've ever heard in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
George Carlin, I think, is one of the greatest examples of this. Richard yep. Pryor is another great example of this. Really, especially with him passing recently and everything, mm-hmm. we've been seeing some footage and some stuff of Bob Newhart, and it was more the slow delivery mm-hmm. and the letting the audience be uncomfortable almost
mm-hmm.
and sit there where they're just almost on the edge of the seat waiting for right. what he's going to say.
Man, did it work well.
It really did.
He was so good at it, because he had a shtick, you know, which for a lot of comedians like kills their career right away. They get popular and then they're gone, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because his timing was so good, it didn't matter. He could still do it, because Bob Newhart was always Bob Newhart.
Yeah,
it didn't matter what he was in. Look at the TV shows, movies. He always did Bob Newhart, but it didn't matter because his timing was awesome.
The part of timing, too, is not just when to deliver the punchline or how to deliver it or the timing of it, but even as you're like who's on first again,
mm-hmm.
You're going through that bit, and if you're doing it right, the audience is already laughing.
Exactly.
So timing that out mm-hmm. and not trying to, it's something we learn in theater very early on, or hopefully you do, is when to not talk over an audience. And let them, the audience is part of the cast.
Yep.
The audience is a part of a good live theater show. Mm-hmm. If you're worth anything as an actor on stage, you consider the audience right. on that stage with you, and you pause to let them finish their laughter or their oohs or ahs or anything else.
Right. Think of the ultimate of that, the stand-up comedian. One person alone on the stage, you need the audience.
Yeah.
You have to have the audience, and the best ones You see what they do. They're really good at it.
Bring some drama. This might include changing your voice to emphasize certain words or using hand or body gestures to go with certain parts of the joke. I remember the old TV show Night at the Improv on A&E. And I used to love, I'd stay up late, watch that show and everything. And there was a time when there was this young comedian that came out there, Jim Carrey. And nobody knew who he was.
Right.
Long before In Living Color or anything. Yep. He comes out there and the things that he was doing with his face and all this stuff, like you didn't really see that kind of thing very often. How degrading he was, and how much he just overemphasized almost everything, to where even if he was just saying a simple word, it was almost funny. Like there's certain comedians that are really good at that, and really excel at that kind of comedy.
And you can, I mean, in the gamut, you know, something like that, or you contrast it with a Stephen Wright or a Mitch Hedberg, who were completely opposite. But again, they had the timing down. The timing's perfect. Everything like that. So it doesn't matter what the, you know, what it is they're doing. If they have the, you know, the fundamentals down, doesn't matter.
I think one of the best at the whole emphasizing words, especially not in the punchline, but definitely in the punchline, your guy Patton Oswalt.
Yes,
like I so good at that.
Yes,
so good at like the mean and you know just leaned into one word and then continues on his pace and everything.
I got to give probably a more obscure comedian. But I'm going to throw her name out there because I think she's great at doing that, especially the voice thing. Maria Bamford.
Oh, wow. Good
who run. Is not only from my neck of the woods, she's from Duluth, actually. Yeah. But she is one of those people that has, you know, she has like a higher pitched voice. She leaned into that in her thing, like really annoying. But then it's the contrast. She does amazing accents. She does amazing, I mean, just of different people and things.
Yeah.
Look up some of her stuff because she's really good.
She's funny. Yes. She is. And finally, tighten things up. Every word of a great joke matters, either to the story or to the rhythm of the bit. It should be tight and condensed with no extra words or information. Otherwise, your audience might get bored.
Exactly.
This is one of the things that I find fascinating about the story of a joke and how long you tend to go it on. The Aristocrats is the greatest example of this, where you have people, you'll have some comedians that'll tell maybe a couple of lines and then get to the punchline. Then you have some that will drag that bit out for like 5 minutes. I heard Bob Saget do a 10-minute Aristocrats joke. Bob Saget, of all people.
That must have been filthy.
Yeah. Bob Saget had one of the better careers you could ask for because he got to play in both worlds. As the stand-up comedian.
The squeaky clean guy.
One of the dirtiest stand-up comedians I've ever seen in my life. His comic relief bit still goes down as people still talk about it and everything. And then he's off. He's doing Full House. He's doing America's Funniest Home Videos.
Squeaky clean.
He mastered both.
He really walked the line. That man was amazing.
He was really good at that. And it's a good point about the bit, about not rambling and not going on too long, which is why I never made it as a stand-up comedian.
Right. Brevity is the soul of wit, everyone. Remember that.
Nicely done. We'll come back to after our news and sports break, and we're going to talk about what TV workplace would you like to work at.
Sounds like fun.
Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Ranker.com asked its followers which workplace, TV workplace, they would like to work at.
Okay.
Some TV workplaces seem a little crazy. And others seem pretty good.
Right.
But what TV workplace would you like to work at? Seth and I will talk about this, but we want to hear from you. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Listening on the Civic Media app, just a touch or two away, and thank you for downloading the app.
I got an idea what yours is going to be. I think I know this one. I
feel like mine is probably pretty obvious. Yeah. But I will say that the list here has a fun one. Do you want to throw any out there right now, and then we'll get into this?
I was going to say Dick Van Dyke. That seemed like a fun one. I know the whole show didn't take place at his work, but man, those are my favorite scenes of that show. The three of them doing bits together was always really funny. And that's where Carl Reiner came from. You know, he was a writer on Sid Caesar's shows in the 50s. And so that's why he wrote such good scenes like that. It was really good.
I will piggyback off of that and say the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, yep. There you go. Yep.
That would have been a fun place to work. Mm,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Would have been pretty cool. That would have been a pretty cool job.
Crazy people there. So, you know, I'm thinking, was would they have been, though, like taxi? Would that have been a good place to work? I don't know.
Man, I loved that show.
Good show.
Loved that show. It was almost a perfect it was a perfect cast. There was no bad members on that.
That was a great cast.
It's a great cast.
Yep.
Great cast. I look back and watch that and like Tony Danza is like the fifth or sixth star on that. Like that tells you a lot back then.
Exactly.
There's some really good ones. But I do have to say that I don't think I'd want to work there. I don't think
that
I'd want to work
there. Yeah. I mean, Christopher Lloyd alone, you know.
Yeah.
He seemed a little crazy in that show.
One brownie did that to him. I'll never forget that episode as a kid. Dad, what is he talking about? Don't worry about it. And so keep that in mind, everybody. What we're talking about is workplaces.
Workplaces.
Like, this isn't in any particular order.
Okay.
Like the Pawnee Parks and Rec Department and Parks and Recs.
Again, would you really want to work there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Funny show. Very, very great. Fun show.
One of
but
the funniest shows of all time.
Another great cast, but man, I don't know.
The bar at Cheers.
Oh, see, now that one, yeah. Right. I can see working at a bar. You know, that's kind of fun.
I mean, even if I didn't last long there, it'd be a fun gig to have for a while.
Yeah.
I'd probably end up being one of those people that started behind the bar and then ended up like with Norm and everything, Cliff and everything.
Cliff and Norm, yeah.
I always thought they missed an opportunity there. Like there should have been a Cheers episode where we found out like how those two ended up over at the end. Like I love the idea of Norm starting as a bartender, and he's just horrible at it. He's just sitting there half the time, not listening to people, and he eventually just like kind of ends up right over on the other side of the bar. Yeah.
James, we can get to your Cheers fanfic later. Okay.
Yeah. Party Down, the TV show Party Down. For those that don't know, that was a Starz show. It was very limited. Not a lot of people saw.
Wow, I don't even remember hearing about that show. Wow.
I mean, so many great people on that show. So many good actors on that show, and very funny, but they were all actors looking to get their break and working in the catering industry. And so they would show up at different, events and everything and be the caterers while also kind of trying to get their acting career going.
And for those of you who have listened to our Director's Cut episodes with Joel Goodness, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He was in the catering business.
So awesome. It's a fun show. The 99th Precinct in Brooklyn 99. Keeping in mind, of course, you are being a police officer in that scenario.
Right.
And there's nothing necessarily funny about that, but I give that show so much credit for being able to find the funny in that.
A humorous cop show, you don't see a lot of those.
No, and I mean, incredibly well done, that show. And not just that, but again, another one of those perfect casts.
Wow, what a cast. Yeah.
It's an amazing cast. I miss Andre Brower already.
Oh, he's great.
I would say, Seth, my two top choices possibly, two of my top five choices are the next couple here.
Okay.
TGS from 30 Rock, and of course that is a show based on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly.
And late night comedy shows and sketch shows and everything. My dream job being Saturday Night Live.
Right.
That would be up there on the list. And Bob's Burgers. Bob from Bob's Burgers. Just so I can listen to H. John Benjamin every day.
You know, it's... He's so good.
He's such
a good actor.
I love you kids, but you're horrible. I love it. There's so many great lines. Dunder Mifflin, The Office.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No. I never watched the show. I'm not really interested in it, but... And I know a lot of people loved it, but would you really want to work there? It seemed like an awful place to work, really.
I really did enjoy that show. I watched every episode. Uh-huh. That show got me. Yeah. I got pulled into it. I really enjoyed it. No.
Would you like work for Michael Scott?
For one, I don't think I would not be good at sales, let alone trying to sell paper. I would be horrible at that. I would never last a week with Michael Scott. No. I wouldn't last a week with that guy.
You would have strangled him or something.
And I would have ruined the one of the greater romance in TV history and Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
I would have ruined that. But like, would you guys just get together?
ruin the whole arc of this.
We
series?
All see you two staring at each other in the office here. It's not that big of an office. I can see you two looking lovingly at each other. Just ask each other, or Jim, get off your tail and go ask her, man. I say the guy that's horrible at that. Me
right, but still, that's how, you know, that's how you feel though, right? Yeah.
My mom and dad names, of course, are Jim and Pam.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's always a little tie.
How awesome is that? Yeah.
Cloud Nine from Superstore. I never saw that show, but I heard good things about it.
I saw a couple of episodes, and it was pretty good. Again, though, man.
I'm going to work there. Yeah, yeah. Any retail is tough. A shout out to all of our retail workers out there. Yeah. We appreciate you. Yeah. I had an ex that loved the show Friends, and she watched it all the time. I don't remember anything from that show. I know I saw bits and pieces of it, but I just don't remember anything from it.
They never worked.
Well, Central Perk is on here from Friends. I don't know.
That was the coffee shop they hung out at.
But they didn't work there, did they? They just showed up there.
Rachel did for a while, but I can't remember. Again, I'm sketchy. I probably know the show a little bit better than you do. But again, I don't know that much in the end.
Cajun Fish from Ally McBeal. I don't remember that one, but okay.
I don't know.
I watched a
good deal of Ally McBeal, and I don't remember that.
I remember the show, and they were at a law firm. Why wouldn't you just choose the law? Or is that the name of the law firm, Cajun Fish? I don't know.
Maybe that was the name of the law firm. Yes, okay. Sorry. Yes,
that makes sense.
John Cage and Fish, the main partners. Yes.
That makes sense.
Oh, man. I missed Peter McNichol. He was so good in that show.
Yeah.
Love Peter McNichol.
One of the best shows on TV right now, Abbott Elementary from Abbott Elementary. So you would probably be a teacher or custodian or something like that.
What a cast in that show, too. They're so good.
Quintina Brunson's one of the funniest, if not the funniest person on TV. She is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love her work. Let's see here. And, of course, the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant from The Simpsons.
You couldn't pay me enough.
You know,
hilarious, but no way.
I would work there in a hazmat suit constantly. I would be laughing and eating donuts with Homer and also terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel like
you'd
be dying by stages there.
You don't want to pull in a Homer. You don't want to pull in a Homer. If anybody knows that reference, thank you for getting that. And my number one choice, I would say WNYX from News Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be WKRP.
That is coming up.
That is coming up.
I was going to say as a number two, but I really love that cast. Like we've said about a couple of these.
Yep.
That was a perfect cast.
Yep.
Like that cast for News Radio, man. If I got to work with Phil Hartman, even that version of Phil Hartman.
You're right. That was a perfect cast.
Dave Foley,
Maura Tierney.
Maura Tierney, underrated.
Very underrated. Yeah. Joe Rogan before he lost his mind.
Yes.
He was actually pretty good in that show.
Yeah. And just a great cast. Just great cast.
Oh, God.
But WKRP and
Stephen Root.
Stephen Root, yes.
As Jimmy James, yes.
Greatest, we've got great ownership. We have wonderful ownership here at Civic Media. But Jimmy James was quite the owner. Yes, quite the owner. And, of course, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Got to throw that in there.
You do have to work in Cincinnati, but no, I'm joking. I've actually never been to Cincinnati, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's probably one. Those are the two great radio sitcoms of all time, for sure.
Yeah. I would put Frasier as a distant third just because there's not many.
And it didn't really. I mean, the radio part was just so celebrities could call in, kind of thing. It didn't really focus on the radio as much as his personal life. So yeah,
it is a toss up though between News Radio and WKRP. As I genuinely have enjoyed my life in radio. I've really enjoyed it.
It's not a bad job. It really isn't.
Like the idea of continuing that. Some honorable mentions out there: the Grey's Anatomy, the wherever they are.
They're both still on. I know that.
Patty's Pub from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that.
That's going to be a very interesting place, all
right. That would be, right?
Pretty interesting place. And what are yours? What are yours out there? Let us know. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'll go to timeout right now. We'll take care of our partners. We come back, none but fun, and we'll talk about our schedule on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James going to wrap up this show with you, get into our schedule, some other fun stuff. We encourage you to stick around. We got Matt and Air on Air coming up for you.
Yep.
Looking forward to that. Going to be a great show as Jane and Greg get you ready for the weekend.
Yes, indeed.
I wanted to just wrap up with some good stuff here, Seth. A mom slept over at her daughter's college for her first night.
Oh, wow.
Slept over at her dorm.
Yeah, right.
And now people are kind of going, is it overbearing or any of this? And then they, of course, didn't wait until the people actually spoke up. The daughter wanted this.
Right.
The daughter asked for this and everything, and the mom and the roommate were all okay with it. And it seems like a pretty good story of the day to me.
Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
That's kind of a cool story right there. And I wanted to also touch on this one right here, because this is interesting, Seth.
All right.
A mysterious black ring appeared in the sky in Virginia on Tuesday, and some people flipped out. Some thought it could be aliens. Some thought it could be some kind of like SOS signal or all this. A bunch of people caught photos of it, and a local outlet tried to investigate. But as far as we know, they haven't figured anything out. But it's almost certainly a smoke ring.
Yes.
Now, so if you Google mysterious black ring, there are dozens of instances of them popping up in various cities over the years, basically ever since everyone had a cell phone to film them. But they've been going on longer than that.
We've reports from people, yeah.
And what this is basically experts say that this is the case that are caused by an explosion through something round with like a smokestack.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Or when power transformers explode or something like that.
Right.
So it's nothing, you know, alien-like or anything like that. It's just kind of interesting. But
okay, why is our first thing is alien? That's kind of sad.
Well,
if you ask me, it's like, well, what's this mysterious thing? Oh, it must be aliens. What?
Yeah.
Why we go there? Why do we go there first?
I now, if this was 5-10 years ago, I'd get it.
Yeah.
A little bit. I still would agree with you, yeah. But I would understand a little bit. But now we have had our own government come out and say that there are UFOs, that there are these things. So I feel like it's kind of like it's almost, well, that's alienism. Like, I mean, you're just stereotyping aliens now. You're just making, well, it's got to be aliens. And
yeah.
That and
everything. Yeah.
No, it's not usually aliens.
Like, no, it's something, well, it's still an interesting phenomena.
Mm.
I mean, that's because it's not something you see every day. It's very curious,
yeah,
that things, but
yeah,
it's still a explainable thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
we need a palate cleanser. Let's take a look at our schedule. And boy, do we got a good one lined up for you today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday for Midday Magazine. Today, we'll wrap up the week with, in part one, State Senator Patrick Testing going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of stuff for Patrick, and he's got mm-hmm. some stuff for me, so we'll get into that.
All right, cool.
And in part two, we'll talk to Reverend Caleb McGregor and about the from Port Edwards United Methodist Church,
yeah,
and talk about their community trivia night and benefit for the Family Center they have coming up.
Very cool. I've met Pastor Caleb. He's very cool guy. So
looking forward to having them on the air with us, and looking forward to our weekend lineup. We've got some good stuff for you. Of course, kicks off at 7 a.m. with the Sunshine Polka Show.
Woo!
Tim Hubbelt does an amazing job. Be sure to join Tim for a wonderful show this Sunday, Saturday, and every Saturday at 7 a.m.
And I do want to mention, for those of you who came out for the party on Wednesday, Tim was here for a good chunk of the time. It was great to see him here and being a part of the station. It was really awesome.
Miss you, Tim. It was really good to see you. Thank you for coming down, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And looking good, by the way, Tim. Looking good.
Looking good.
Our great friends at Family Natural Food sponsor an hour on Saturdays from 8 to 9. Terry Talks Nutrition with one of the supplement gurus, Terry Lemron.
Yes, that is correct.
Such a good show. Check
yes,
that out,
is.
Everybody, and support our friends over at Family Natural Foods. Their mm-hmm. doors are open right now. Go check them out.
They are.
And of course, we've got after that, Over the Back Fence from 11 to noon.
You bet. I'll be here.
Yeah, join Seth with your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, and spread the word about the show, everybody. We want to keep that show on the air.
Yep.
We can do that thanks to you.
Yep, that's right. Give me something to do, man. Yeah.
Our Sunday night lineup is jam-packed for you, and thank you so much for supporting it, everybody. We kick things off from 5 to 6 with Director's Cut.
Yep.
We will have new episodes for you, hopefully starting next week
yes.
with that.
Yeah.
I do think we're going to have the Merry Wives of Windsor on this Saturday or Sunday. We'll have one we're going to play.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, I'll pick a different one, I think.
Yeah, we're going to pick a different one because we played that last week.
Yeah,
you're right. After that, you'll have from 6 to 8, Seth Faces the Music.
That's right. Got a best of. I have to apologize for everyone out there. I had a little extra work on my plate this week for because someone was on vacation and I had some network stuff I had to do. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to put together a show this week. So we'll do a best of this week. It'll be a surprise. I don't know what it is yet.
and CC, that same answer for my Unlabeled, because I've got it all written. I've got I've got the track list set to Seth.
He does. Yeah. I got the music ready. Yeah.
Just have not had the time to be able to do it. We had our party this week.
It was a busy week. It really was.
We've been been a little short-staffed around and everything, so we've just been kind of covering our ends around here and everything. But next Sunday, I feel we will have a new Unlabeled for you next Sunday.
Yeah.
And looking forward to it. And Seth, we've got some stuff we wanted to let everybody know about as well. You guys got a cool rummage sale going on.
We do. Tomorrow at the Moravian Church from 9 to 2, we've got a brat fry and rummage sale going on. Now, a quick change of where the rummage sale is going to be. We originally said it was going to be outside the front of the church by the cross tower that's right there on First Avenue. It has been decided it's going to move inside.
Yeah.
So at the Fellowship Hall, that's the basement of the church. That is where you can find all the rummage sale items from 9 to 2. And then you can go outside into the parking lot and get your brat or hot dog, hamburger, nachos. We're gonna have baked goods there as well. Come have a full morning. You can go to the farmers market downtown. You can come over to the rummage sale, and then you can get some great food at the church as well. That's 9 to 2 at the Moravian Church across 3rd Avenue from the Centralia Center.
Have a great time there, everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yep.
That's a great idea, by the way, the broad fry rummage sale. Such a masterful idea. Free meals for kids are going on just for today. Today is the last day.
This is it.
11:30 to 12:30 over at Mead Park near the Splash Pad, and 11:30 to 12:30 over at the shelter outside of the Aquatic Center. Gigantic thank you to everybody a part of this. Thank you so much to everybody to help that happen. Tomorrow, our friends at McMillan Library have their band book club from 3:30 to 4:30. Join them for that. Mm-hmm. I support the band. I do here.
That's very cool. Yeah.
And the 16th Annual Family Fun Fest Car Show happening Saturday from 9 to 3. Vendor, craft fair, farmer's market, food, fun for kids.
Woo!
All kinds of cars, truck, tractor, motorcycle show. Get on down there, have some fun, and know that all of this is going to an amazing cause. The Jeremiah's Crossing group over there.
That's
wonderful
right.
People. Find out more at jeremiahscrossing.org. Mm-hmm. jeremiahscrossing.org. And enjoy, everybody. Have fun. Have yourselves a great weekend. When you're at these events, take pictures. Share them with us on our Facebook page.
Oh, please do. We'd love to see it.
Love to see more of that. And a big thank you again to everybody that supported us and came to our WFHR parking lot party this week. That was such a blast.
It's fun.
We appreciate you doing that, everybody.
We do.
And thank you to the staff and the team we have here that was able
to
pull that off and pull off a great week.
I'll say it. We're awesome.
We really
are. That's right. We rock.
We're pretty all right. We're pretty all right. We'll meet you back here next week, everybody. Have yourselves a good weekend. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.